Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
Season 6, Episode 5 of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon 1, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. And today we are going to have part two of our interview with Dave Mastorakis. And Dave, if you listen to part one, you know that he was actually in both the 1965 and 1966 Mr. Olympia competitions. He wasn't in Mr. Olympia. He was actually in the Mr. America, which was held that same night. So Dave has some great stories to tell about the people he saw and the experiences he had competing in that contest. So in 1966, they had four competitions on that night at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. They had the IFBB Mr. America, they had the IFBB Mr. Universe, they had the IFBB Mr. World, and then they had the IFBB Mr. Olympia. So the Mr. America that night was won by Chet Yorton, and he beat out Don Howarth, and he also beat out Frank Zane. And the Mr. Universe was won by Dave Draper, and Dave won the Mr. America the year before that, 1965. And the Mr. World was won by Sergio Oliva. And then, of course, the Mr. Olympia was won by Larry Scott. And this was Larry's second and last Mr. Olympia. And he beat out Harold Poole. And he also beat out Sergio and Chuck Sipes. So we got a good interview coming up with Dave Mastorakis, who's also took some great pictures. And if you haven't been on our BodybuildingLegendsShow.com website, go to our website and check out those very rare pictures because we have them posted up on the website. So Dave took a lot of great pictures, totally candid shots of all the champs backstage as they were pumping up and getting ready for the show. All right, I do want to mention we are brought to you by Redcon 1. At Redcon 1, everyone wants to be a champion and everybody wants to be the best. Redcon 1 believes in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon 1 has something for those willing to put in the work. Their premier clinically dosed pre-workout called Total War is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then you can fuel your body after those workouts with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carbs coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon 1, the highest state of readiness. And also, remember, check out their MRE bars, which they have in many, many flavors, and those are really selling well. But if you go to redcon1.com, enter the discount code LEGENDS, and you will get a 15% discount off your order. And we're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements to the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They are the brand that I've used to win the Masters Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012, and I still use their supplements today. They are also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the new 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champ. And he also just recently won the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic Champ. And they also just signed, I just saw it on Facebook today, they signed Tom Platz and his wife Cha. So they are now brand ambassadors with Old School Labs. And they also have Samir Banut on board with Old School Labs. So Old School Labs has all the great bodybuilding legends. So go to their website at oldschoollabs.com and use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you'll get 12% off your order. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, I mentioned those pictures about Dave Mastorakis, so you want to go check those out on our pictures section at bodybuildinglegendsshow.com. And we did get some more emails this week, so I do want to mention those emails. I want to read those out. If you guys have any thoughts or ideas on guests or any criticism of the show or anything you want to share with me, you can email me at john@bodybuildinglegendsshow.com. Or you can email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I'll get it either way. So send out your emails. I love reading them on the air. I love getting them. I did get a comment on my YouTube page And my YouTube page is just under my name, John Hansen. If you want to subscribe to that, I would really appreciate it. But I put all the Bodybuilding Legends Show interviews up on YouTube. And also, I put the podcast. I'm starting to put all the podcasts as videos up on YouTube. And sometimes I add pictures, sometimes I don't. But if you want to listen to that on YouTube, if you prefer doing that over iTunes, you can do that. But this comment was about the Phil Williams. I had Phil Williams from the 1985 Mr. Universe. I had his posing routine. And this guy, his name is S1 Conrad. He said, Phil is going to be inducted into the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame on Memorial Day weekend in Venice in a few weeks. A well-deserved honor for an awesome, inspiring athlete. I agree. And I'm going to be out there. As I mentioned, I will be in California that weekend, Memorial Day weekend, to see Phil get inducted into the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame. And we'll definitely get an interview with Phil. I'm sure he's very proud of this. He's been a champion in the sport for a long time. Doesn't really get a lot of recognition because his career was kind of short and he didn't compete in a lot of shows. He was a great physique, and a lot of people who remember him really look up to him. And he also had an incredible record. I mean, he went into the 1984 NPC USA and won the overalls, pretty much an unknown. The next year, he went into the NPC Nationals and won the overall there. And he beat out some incredible bodybuilders, including Lee Labrada and Ron Love. And then right after that competition, he went into the IFBB Mr. Universe and was narrowly beaten by Joseph Romulus from Germany, who was a little more ripped. Phil was holding a little bit of water, I think, from the flight over from the United States to Sweden. And he took that loss very hard, and he didn't compete as a professional. Meanwhile, Lee Labrada and Ron Love both turned pro the next year, and they took first and second, respectively, in the Night of the Champions in 1986. So I'm sure Phil Williams would have won that contest if he would have competed, since he just beat both of those guys at the Nationals. But Phil actually stayed out of the scene until 1988, and then he made his pro debut at the Chicago Pro Show, and he won his very first pro show, beating out Gary Stridham and John Natashak and Bob Paris and quite a few other top guys. And the regret was that Phil didn't continue on and compete in the 1988 Mr. Olympia, which was one of the best Mr. Olympias ever in Los Angeles. But I think if Phil would have showed up in top shape, he would have been right in that top five. So we'll never know, but we still have the memories of Phil's physique on video and in pictures. And so I'm glad he's getting his due by being inducted into the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame in a couple more weeks. I also had a comment on one of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast on YouTube that I put on. This was from season one, where we talked about the movie Pumping Iron, and it was episode two, our interview with Roger Callard. This comes from FabPhil100. And he says, great interview, John. Wag Bennett said he trained with Arnold and told him to cut his tracksuit bottoms to expose his weak calves. He bombed them every day to get his calves to grow when he lived in London. Rick Drayson said he got implants in Germany, so you wouldn't know who to believe. Yeah, that was a controversial comment that Roger made when he implied that Arnold had calf implants, and I know Rick Drayson said the same thing. So let's see. We got a comment from Scott Barron, and Scott says, John, I really enjoyed your second Roger Schwab interview regarding the 1966 Mr. Olympia. And he says, I have an amusing story for you regarding an experience that I had approximately 8 years ago. It was a Friday afternoon after a busy week of teaching at Carl Schurz High School on Milwaukee and Addison in Chicago. And several other teachers and I went out to a local watering hole to enjoy a couple of ice cold beers and to engage in the art of conversation. I was pleased that Daniel A. Guida, PhD, was joining our group. He was substitute teaching at Schurz that day. He was the former department chair of foreign languages and was officially retired, but substitute taught on occasion. Long story short, the topic of weight training came up, and he asked me several questions regarding my two-day grand prize trip with Arnold Schwarzenegger back in 1992. Yeah, I should mention Scott won a prize to go train with Arnold back in 1992, I think that was part of the Arnold Classic that year, and Scott was the lucky winner. So I think he wrote an article about it for Muscle Mag International. Anyway, Scott says, Dr. Guida proceeded to tell me about his brother, who was a former bodybuilding champion and a legendary trainer to Sergio Oliva, etc. He even mentioned how his brother had once defeated Arnold Schwarzenegger in competition, a statement that turns out to be untrue. Honestly speaking, I thought that Dr. Guida had enjoyed one drink too many. Although one of his claims turned out to be bogus, the thrust of his conversation was spot on accurate. Dr. Guida, a colleague whom I worked with for a decade, has a brother, none other than Bob Guida. An interview with Bob Guida would equate to historical gold for the Bodybuilding Legends Show. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I Actually, I do know Bob Gaida really well. Bob used to come to my shows when I promoted them in Chicago. And his friend Al Yakich was responsible for me getting the interview with Don Howarth about a week ago. So both of those guys are great storytellers, and they know a lot about the golden age of bodybuilding back in Chicago in the 1960s. Of course, they knew John Valick, they knew Rio H. Blair, Rock Stonewall, Sergio. So they've got some great stories. So I talked to Al recently, and I'm going to try and get both of those guys on to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. They would be a great guest. All right. I also heard from my friend Farhan Sadr, who said, great podcast, John. You keep outdoing yourself. Brad Allen sent us an email, and he says, hey, John, as you know, I love all your work you're doing with the podcast and website. Your interviews are beyond great. I'm telling you, I really look forward to seeing that new podcast downloading to my phone each week. I have 50 ideas for future series. I'd love to get an autographed copy of the Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder book. Just let me know the pricing, etc. Keep up the good work. It's phenomenal. All right. Thank you, Brett. Well, if you want to get a book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, or my other books, which is Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends, Volume 1 and the MP6 Workout, I do have copies of all of those books available at home. So you can order one directly from me. If you want to get the new one, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, they are $30 each, and you can just pay by PayPal at my email address, which is naturalolympia@gmail.com, or you could just send me an email and ask me, and I will tell you how to do that on PayPal. You can also get all those books, of course, on Amazon.com. I did get another email from Vic Downs, who we just interviewed not too long ago. Vic is now 89 years old, and it was great talking to him. And so I told Vic that his interview will be coming up in a couple of weeks. So hopefully we will get that up, and appreciate Vic talking to us. That was very nice of him. And next week, we're going to have our interview with Don Howarth, who was the 1967 IFBB Mr. America winner. So that'll also be coming up next week. Speaking of my book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, I will be appearing on the Bodybuilding Nerds podcast, the hosts Scott McNally and VJ Puri. I sent both VJ and Scott copies of my book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, so they should be getting those soon. And they were actually talking about it on the show this week. I sort of bribed them. I said I would send them a free copy of the book if they had me on their show so we could promote the book. And they agreed because they're great guys. And Scott said that if I didn't sign it, he was going to send it back. But of course, I did sign it. I personally signed it to both of them. So I'm looking forward to being on their show. Those guys are great because they give so much promotion to other websites and podcasts out there. And I don't think nobody else does that in the industry. So I'm looking forward to talking to those guys again about the book. So that should be coming up soon. I'll let you guys know when that happens. And I'm also going to start filming some workout videos, speaking of my YouTube channel. We're going to start filming some training videos where I'm going to be describing how to do different exercises. And we're also going to be doing some nutrition videos and some motivational videos. And this is all in an effort to promote my new website, which is dadbodtoripbod.com, where I set up training and diet programs. So these new videos will be up on also my YouTube channel and also the website, dadbodtoripbod.com. So be looking for those. If you want to just subscribe to my YouTube channel, it's under my name, John Hansen. You can do that. And looking forward to doing that. I was talking to Rick Wayne this week by text. So I'm really looking forward to doing an interview with Rick. Rick, as you know, or you should know, was one of the great bodybuilders in the 1960s and 1970s. I believe he won the IFBB Mr. World contest, one of the greatest set of arms ever. And Rick, in addition to having a great physique, was also a fantastic writer. And when I got into bodybuilding in the late 70s, Rick was the head writer for Joe Weider's Muscle Builder magazine, and he was a great writer. And he wrote a book called Muscle Wars, which is one of my favorite books on bodybuilding. Rick was a very, very talented writer. So after he retired from working for Joe Weider, he went back to St. Lucia, which is an island in the Caribbean. And that's his hometown. That's where he was born. So Rick has been out there now for probably at least 30 years. But the wealth of knowledge and experience he has and the stories he can tell would be amazing. So I would love to talk to Rick Wayne. So he said he is interested. I want to thank John Balick for setting that up for me. And so we should be able to get that interview with Rick Wayne pretty soon. As soon as he's available, I will be there to do it. I tried to get an interview with Dave Draper, and I talked to his wife, Larie, because we've been talking about Dave for the last few episodes when we talked to Roger Schwab and Dave Mastorakis and also Jerry Branum a couple weeks ago. Dave was in the 1965 IFBB Mr. America. He won that, and then he won the 1966 IFBB Mr. Universe. And of course, Dave is a legendary bodybuilder, and he was one of the best bodybuilders in the late 1960s, early 1970s. But Laree, his wife, said Dave really just doesn't like doing interviews. He's kind of shy, and so that's not his thing. So I have to respect that. But I did try to get Big Dave on the show. He's a great, great guy. If you've ever met Dave Draper, one of the true gentlemen of the sport. But I did hear from Samir Banute, and Samir is out in England this weekend with that Body Power Expo. And we did an interview with Samir probably 3 years ago now, and we only did part one because the interview got cut short, and we never got a chance to talk about his Mr. Olympia victory in 1983 or his great showing in 1982 or any of the other contests he did after the 1981 Olympia. I think that's as far as we got in that first interview. So Samir said for sure he would do an interview, so I'm looking forward to talking to him hopefully later this week when he gets home from England and he's back home in the United States. So I will keep on that for sure. So that's about it for me. I just been dieting. I was sick last weekend, so I had to get back on track. It's hard to lose body fat, of course, when you're just dieting and you're not training. So it took me a few days to get over that head cold I had last weekend and was able to get back to the training. So put me back a little bit. I'm not really on schedule now, but I'll just keep trucking along, and I'm feeling 100% now. So I'll just keep training hard, and I haven't really been doing much besides that because, you know, when you're dieting, I think all bodybuilders, we're all the same. We can't really do anything. We sort of live like monks for a while. Can't go out to restaurants. We can't drink alcohol. So I've been going to the movies a lot. I love movies. I think a lot of bodybuilders love movies because that's what we do in our downtime when we're dieting, is go to movies. So, of course, I saw that Avengers Infinity War with the rest of the world, I think. It made billions of dollars already. But I saw that a few weeks ago. But I have seen a couple other movies recently. I've got that Movie Pass. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Movie Pass. But it's like a credit card. You only pay $9.95 a month, and you can see as many movies as you want per month. It's amazing. So I've been doing it for less, I think, like 5-6 months. I love going to movies, so it's great for me. I go to like 2 movies a week, and all you do is you pay $9.95 a month, and that's it. So I did see a couple other movies that weren't as mainstream as Avengers. I saw a movie called Tully, which stars Charlize Theron as a married mother of three. She's actually pregnant with the third child at the beginning of the movie, and it just shows how tough it is to be a mother. But it's a very funny movie. It's written by Diablo Cody, who wrote Juno a few years ago. It's also directed by the same guy, Jason Reitman, who directed Juno. So that was really, really a great movie. It was very heartfelt. It was really well acted, of course, and very well written. So I think you'd enjoy that if you want to check that out. What happens in the movie is she is so overwhelmed with trying to raise these kids that they end up getting a nighttime nanny, and her name is Tully. She's a young girl, and that's where they get the title of the movie. So I really like that. That was good. So another offbeat movie called Lean on Pete, which is about a 16-year-old kid and his horse. And it kind of sounds like a Disney movie, but trust me, it's not. This was like a punch in the gut type of movie. It was brutal. There was a lot of tough experiences in this movie. But it was very, very good. The star of the movie is Charlie Plummer, and he plays a kid named Charlie in the movie, and he was in that movie, All the Money in the World, which was out last year. It's directed by a English director named Andrew Haig, who has also only done, I think, 3 movies, but this was a really, really well-done movie, very realistic, as I said, and this kid goes through so many hardships, and it's very well directed, very well written, a lot of great characters in it. Steve Buscemi's in it, so if you really want to go see a really hard movie to watch, but a great movie, go see Lean on Pete. Probably not and definitely not a mainstream movie. It only played for like a week out here in Tampa. And I saw it over the weekend at the Tampa Theater on the last day before it went away. And then I saw another movie with Joaquin Phoenix called You Were Never Really Here, which was another kind of brutal, dark movie. He plays a hitman who kills people with a hammer. And he's a tortured soul because he was abused by his father when he was younger. Very well acted by Joaquin Phoenix, who I think is one of the best actors we have working in the business right now. And also very well directed, really a suspenseful type of movie. Not really as violent as I thought it would be, given the subject matter, but it was really well done as well. So check out those 3 movies if you're looking for something to see. And I think that's about it. I'm looking forward to going to the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks out in California. I think I haven't been out to California in probably about 6 years. I think 2012 when I competed in, or maybe 2011. I can't really remember. But it's been 6 or 7 years. Last time I competed out there, and I did a photo shoot with Iron Man when Iron Man was still around. So it's been a while. So Joe Wheatley, who is sponsoring the event, has invited me to a VIP breakfast that morning on Memorial Day. So I'm looking forward to going to that. I think John Balik will be there and Jerry Branum will be there and a lot of other bodybuilding celebrities. And I'm hoping to go to Gold's Gym that weekend and maybe do some interviews there with some of the old school guys. So I want to thank Old School Labs for sponsoring this trip. It was their idea. So I'm really, really excited about it. So we're really looking forward to that. I do want to mention we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then come see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing they're there for you every step of the way. They offer very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them for more information and experience firsthand what sets them apart from the rest. You can call their office number in Tampa, Florida at 813-922-8939 or visit their website at flalternativemeds.com. That's flalternativemeds.com. Or if you want to call them directly, call 813-922-8939 and tell them that you heard the ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you 20% off your first order, and they will also give you a free consultation before you order anything. I have a lot of friends that I've recommended to go to Florida Alternative Medicine, and they really are enjoying the benefits and they really love it. So check them out. All right. So that is it for our opening. Here is our interview with Dave Mastorakis, where we're going to talk about the 1966 Mr. Olympia, as well as the 1966 IFBB Mr. America, Mr. World, and Mr. Universe. And Dave, of course, was a part of that Mr. America contest. He was competing at only 16 years old. So here is our interview. Enjoy. Let's talk about 66, because you were also at that show, right? You were there just as a fan in 66.
Yeah, 67 I was there. 66 I was in the show. It was a little different. I think I actually was in the top 10, going by the way I was being moved around, things like that.
Uh-huh.
So again, at 16, being in the top 10 was, to me, a move, a step up, you know.
Yeah.
And I had other friends coming from Massachusetts too. Wally Farrell was there again. I don't think Bernie came in that year. Henry J. from the Hoyle Celt Club. These are guys that I trained with in the Hoyle Celt Club area. It was just as good, I should say, as the last one. There were other contestants. Gable Boudreaux was there.
McCardle. Eddie Giuliani was in your class too, right?
Yeah, Ed was there.
Rock Stomo.
Yeah. Elliot Gilchrist. You remember Elliot?
Yeah.
Elliot was there. Zane looked a lot better, for sure.
Okay.
Difference of a year. I don't think Alan King made it to that one.
I don't see his name in the lineup here.
And,
yeah, I'm looking at an article from 66, and it said in the short class, Roman Austin, Leon Brown was in it, Eddie Giuliani, Frederick Warren, John LaBoy, Dave Mastorakis, and Vinny Reno, and Hector Rivera, Rock Stonewall, and Hank Zarco. Those guys were all in the short class.
Yeah, I remember all of them.
Yeah.
I never did beat Leon Brown.
Really?
He could come along hard and beat me, and then in 74... it was Ed Giuliani, Leon, I was second, or third, and Carlos Rodriguez was fourth.
Okay.
So beating Carlos. Carlos was a great bodybuilder, too.
So 74, that was when Ed won. That was in New York also, and that's when Ed won the class?
Right.
Okay. And you got third that year?
Yeah.
Who was Bob second Birdsong, that year?
I think Bob Birdsong won the title.
Yeah.
Now, Leon Brown was second.
Oh, Leon Brown
was second
okay.
in my class, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. What did you think of Rock Stonewall? Because he won your class, and this is a 66 America. He won the class then, right?
He must have won the middle class then.
Yeah, it's he won the short class, and Frank Zane won the medium class.
Okay, I didn't think he was that short. Was it 5'5 or 5'6? I thought Rock was taller than that. I don't know. Again, it's many, many years.
Right.
Real nice guy. Very, very quiet. Very quiet.
That Rock Stonewall won the short class, Frank Zane won the medium, and Chet Yorton won the tall class, and then Chet won the overall. And Chet beat Don Howard that year in the tall class.
Okay, then Norm was wrong, yeah. I thought Chet won that one. That's what I thought. This is all from MuscleMemory.com?
Yeah, it's from an article from Muscle Builder Magazine, December 1966.
You're talking about my friendship with Mike. About 2 to 3 months with an author, and he's doing the book on Mike.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah.
It's going to be not so much a biography, but it's going to be like written like a novel mm-hmm. about a person with goals and potential and different obstacles in his life and changes. The author okay. is from Paris. He's from Paris.
Oh, really?
So it's going to be released in French for the first edition, which will be out in January. Mm-hmm. 500 pages.
Wow, 500 pages. That's huge.
So I got like Roger to talk to him, Jerry Branham talked to him, John Little, as many people, Jack Neary. Because a lot of people, and I understand, would not respond the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the email seemed pretty personal and pretty interesting. It wasn't like a tell-all story, you know?
Yeah.
So after I spoke with him and talked to him, I contacted these people, and they all were able, through me, and I think Samir also, were able to talk to, his name was Nicholas. So it's mm-hmm. going to be an incredible book.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's not really a biography about Mike. It's more about just his goals and his life in general.
Yeah, it's more like a Greek tragedy kind of a thing. I mean, it has their names in it. Everybody's name will be in it. All
right.
The characters.
Right.
Now, Arnold will be in it. Starts off with the 80 Olympia.
Okay.
It goes back to Mike's teenage years, and that's when I get involved with it.
Okay.
It was fun to work with him. He's a great guy, and he's done several other books, but in different genres. But he got it published, and it'll be out in January.
Wow.
Exciting.
I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, well, it'll have to wait a while because it won't be in English probably to the second edition.
Okay. Will they be selling it on Amazon?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. It's a publishing firm in Paris. I said, he is from Paris. He was wearing a T-shirt with Mike's picture on it, and his trainer said, "Do you know who that is?" And he said, "No. I just happened to pick it up at a store." So he started telling him the whole story.
Okay.
And so that's when he contacted me. And I, like I said, I helped him. I believed him. I talked with him. I met with him. And I got everybody involved. And everybody was very cooperative and very helpful to fill in the blanks, you know. Plus, he must have read every single article on Mike and every single Mike article Mike wrote. He knew more about Mike than I ever did. He just did a lot of research. So it sounds like it's going to be very, very good.
Yeah, it does sound like it's going to be really good. Let's go back to 66, Dave. Tell me again your thoughts about that America. You were in the – how did you did better in the contest at 16 years old? What were your thoughts on some of the other competitors?
Like I said, Gable Boudreaux to me was very impressive. I used to read about him in the Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
The layer protein.
Yeah.
I think I tried it, but it was a little too rich for me. I loved Fabo. He was a great guy, very easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about him, through the magazine. A lot of the guys I competed at Mountain Park, like Dave Shepard, John Romero, mm-hmm. Warren Frederick used to come to Mountain Park all the time. For guys who were that well-built, you know, you'd think that they'd learn how to pose. I think Warren never learned how to pose.
Oh, really? Yeah, I remember him from all the Dan Lurie contests.
Yeah.
WBBG, yeah.
And I had to compete with Roman Austin, who was very good, Tommy Abar, incredible chest. Ribcage was incredible. John Benefield from Hartford. He was also another guy who would come to Mountain Park.
Okay.
And then Wally Farrell's name is on her. He won the Mr. New England, the competition I came in third on a year later, 66. Well, that same year, actually.
Yeah. You said Frank Zane was much better, huh, in 66?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. He has seemed more defined. And that's, you know, he always was a little heavy, I hate to say, in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You know, look back at the way he ended up looking in his final years. But
me and Roger Schwab were talking about that last week, you know, because he said that he had a great physique, but he just wasn't as defined as he was back in the 70s, you know, when he was winning the Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, and I was really surprised because I really got up and close to the guys. Like, I wasn't ashamed to get behind them when they're waiting to go on stage. And, you know, when you go on stage, as you know, you step up a few steps before you get actually on the level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get behind him. And I never seen that he has the smallest ankles I've ever seen on him.
Oh, really? Yeah.
that helped him proportion-wise. His knees are small, his joints are small.
Yeah.
That made his muscle belly so much bigger. And, of course, his small waist helps his shoulders. So that's one thing I'll never forget about Frank. And, again, I was a fan, so I wasn't criticizing him. I just thought, I would never say you have small ankles.
Yeah, whenever I look at pictures of him, like in the Olympian stuff, I'm just amazed how small his hips are. It makes his waist look so much smaller. You know, even his glutes are so small because his hips are so small.
Right. And he basically really molded himself into a great bodybuilder. That's what I believe.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And how did Chet Yorton look that year, Dave, compared to the year before?
I think he was tighter, for sure. His legs, you know, for the scars and that, he was able to get some more size. Mm-hmm. Of course, he always had great calves.
Yeah.
He's one of the only guys that I've ever seen do a bicep pose, two-arm bicep pose, with his wrist pointing forward.
Yeah, I remember how he used to do that.
Curl position.
Uh-huh.
He looked good. It's hard to knock it, but it's just...
it was weird, yeah.
And his very positive, his posing was really, strong.
Mm-hmm. And Don Howarth was second to him. How did he look?
Again, a bad poser, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going by my memory of seeing it then and putting it in my current brain, you know?
Yeah.
Look at it and say, well, you can't pose. But he definitely had a few limited poses, and he did only the ones he looked good in. I think that's the evolution of the mandatory poses. You know, mm-hmm. like Zane was one of the best at hiding things. I remember when they started the mandatory, Zane would try to get out of these poses. Like crazy. He did not want to do the mandatory poses, you know.
Oh, really?
Frank, turn your head a little bit more. Come on, get your wrist, Frank. Do it once. So I definitely think that's why that became important.
They had a best poser trophy, and they gave it to Frank Zane.
Well, yeah, because that's because he was able to show the audience what he wanted to see, which is the best way to do it.
Right.
You know, did you say you were at the International?
Yes, the Mr. International, yeah. In the late 70s, I was there, yeah.
Well, for this show, I decided to show my worst poses and finish with my best poses. I did that. So Mike was there. He was writing an article with Jack Neary. He wasn't in the audience, per se, but he was nearby, and he heard the audience. And, you know, like, I'm not pranking, but this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I finished, the audience was in a roar, upright roar. And he said, I thought you were Zane, the way they were clapping. Or Ed Corny, thought it was Ed Corny.
Wow.
I said, I just saved my best poses for the end.
Right.
And, you know, the audience didn't clap in the beginning, but then they started clapping, and they started clapping. And before I knew it, you know, they were, you know, it was a fun time. You know?
Yeah.
I said, that's all I did. I changed the order, showed them what I wanted to at the very end, rather than do the compulsories like I used to do all the time, you know? Like,
right. That's a great idea.
It worked out that day.
Mm-hmm.
I still lost the Lebanese lion. He never forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
You almost beat me that night. You almost beat me that night. And Mike used to have parties in the Palm Springs.
Uh-huh.
And, he would invite these guys down there. Samir, Andrea Colling. And it was fun.
Mike would have parties?
Yeah, he would have these parties when he bought this house in Palm Springs. I think it was for the Mr. Universe. He had a huge party. Joe Weider was there. Andres Colling was there. Samir. Mm-hmm. He had a magician come in.
Really?
Mind reader. Yeah, well, you know, Mike started making some money selling his courses in that.
Yeah.
The Universe was a big deal. So it was fun. I remember that one. That was a lot of fun.
How was his house in Palm Springs?
Oh, it was great. It was a complex. You have a brand new places, but they're attached to others. But generally, they would keep the garage in between, so you weren't like physically attached. So you can't hear people partying and trying to sleep at night. You know, but it was a lot of fun. Mike was very generous. You know, he wouldn't let you spend any money.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you hear about any contrary was not true. But he definitely splurged during these particular times.
That's another great thing about that era was, you know, the parties and everybody would hang out and stuff. That's great to hear that stuff.
Yeah. There was a couple of them in Marina, too. I think it was after Tom's victory, he had to party on there.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Uh-huh.
Have you've been out to Cal, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You never lived there, right?
No, I never lived there. Just visited a few times. But
Marina Del Rey is where a lot of the guys were living. Now, most of them, I believe, have all moved to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of the guys in California anymore. At least that's what I've heard.
That's what I've heard, too. So you saw Sergio Oliva for the first time also, right, at the Mr. World that year?
Yes, I did. Yeah, he was incredible. I've never seen such a small waist on a man. Never mind a bodybuilder.
Right.
I think it was like 27 inches.
Big was Sergio back then? Because he wasn't as big at that show as he would become later on in the 70s.
No, I think he was definitely right around a little over 200, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 198, 200.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely had much more defined in his lower back area. And
Okay.
Another Sergio story. Well, I'm talking about he was at the Iron Age, at the Arnold Show Classic,
mm-hmm.
and he was at our booth where we were having a bunch of, like, Leon Brown was there, Annabelle Lopez was there, Steve Mahalik and all that. So we got a call that Sergio needed to get picked up. I go, okay, well, I'm not going to turn that down. You know, I had friends in the car.
Right.
And so we went to get him. So mm-hmm. we're already kind of late. And Sergio says, I got to eat. So he says, okay, well, we'll take you to a restaurant, you know. So I'm right. in the restaurant. And I'm in the booth, literally in the booth. And I pinched myself and said, Dave, you're sitting in a booth with freaking Sergio Oliva. You got to ask the guy some questions. You know, you got to talk to him. Right. You know, instead of being angry because you're going to be late for the start of the show,
right.
it's Sergio,
right.
you know?
Right.
So I just started asking him all kinds of questions about, you know, how he got here, how he left the Cuban weightlifting team, how he defected to the American consul.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Before that, he knew he had to leave Cuba. So friends of his were leaving on a boat. And he have you ever talked to him? Did you ever talk to him? He has the funniest stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's there. His friends had a boat, and it looked like it was, like, wired together with mesh and that. You know? And he's there, you're going to put the boat in the water? And he says, yeah. He says, shark's in the water, boat in the water, you're in the water. No way. I'm not going.
Right.
So, again, he waited and waited, and he finally didn't make it, of course. But
why did he feel he needed to leave Cuba? Was it because when Castro took over?
Well, I just think that part of it was the ability to do what you want to do. You know, he wanted mm-hmm. to be an athlete.
Right.
He was on the Olympic weightlifting team. That's probably why they left him alone and gave
right.
him the opportunity. I don't think he really wanted to be a weightlifter. I think he was more interested in bodybuilding, but that's not a sport. You know,
yeah.
Cuba doesn't recognize it as a sport. So he was able to make a living and travel around. And that's how he got the ability to leave, you know.
Yeah, I think it was in Jamaica when he took off and he went to the American Embassy.
Right. So he was a fun guy. I was surprised at how it's just, his sense of humor is incredible, overwhelming.
Yeah. He had a great personality. He had a lot of charisma.
And I was sad to hear him pass away, too. So
yeah.
4 or 5 years after, 6 years after.
Did you get to talk to him back in 66 at all, Dave? Or were you just taking pictures of him?
Not really. No, I don't know. Because I was there with 3 or 4 of my friends, I kind of stayed more than 66 with them.
Mm-hmm.
And just grab a picture if I could here. I have some good shots of Abel Boudreau. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And have some of Roman Austin. I took a few.
And then at the Mr. Universe that year, Dave Draper won again. And what do you think of him in 66 compared to 65?
I thought he looked a little harder. He didn't have the same suit on. He wore different. He didn't use a metallic suit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he went with a metallic suit, I guess. Somebody said it was more like Bill Pearl used to wear that suit.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it was like Bill Pearl's posing trunks that he borrowed.
Oh, literally?
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's unusual. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, he looked better for sure. I don't think he had much competition.
No, it doesn't look like it. Gabe Boudreau took first in the short class. I think they only had a short and tall class. And Dave won the won the tall class.
I wonder why. I was a huge fan of Hugo LeBron. Remember him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder why he wasn't in these shows. He used to compete up to that point.
Yeah.
A couple of years that he missed. But I thought he was very good, too. When I wasn't competing, I was standing by the entrance because I knew where the entrance was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he came on after that. I would take pictures. I pictured these people in their street clothes.
Okay.
Hugo LeBron and Chuck Sykes in his street clothes. I can tell you exactly what Larry Scott wore, the 2 shows he competed in.
Uh-huh.
I went home and he had a red cardigan on with a white shirt.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that's what I wore the next 2 competitions when I went to see the show.
Yeah. Yeah, the red cardigan sweater, huh?
Yeah. Button up in a white shirt with that tan.
Right.
Bleached blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good-looking guy for sure, you know.
So how was the Olympia that year, Dave, in 66?
There was more of them, I know that. I definitely thought Larry looked better than he did the year before. He looked great the year before, but he definitely seemed more leaner.
And oh, really? Okay.
I think that helped him, beat Sergio. And I still don't think Chuck Sykes had much of a chance. I like Chuck. He was a very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But he just a little out of his league there in that show.
Really? Okay. How did Sergio look next to those guys?
He looked great. There's a shot in Norm's book, a video of them side by side. And when the cameras were shooting, the lights would be brighter, you know, and you could see it more clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that from Norm's video.
But Larry definitely, I think the tan really helped him. He seemed to pose a little more, a different poses this second year, to be able to branch out. And rather than say real tight shows, he was able to open up more.
Yeah.
He knew, like the Zane, he knew his limitations on certain poses. So that's how you win.
And how did Harold Poole look in 66 compared to 65?
I thought he was a little leaner. He had more abs. He never got down, in my opinion, to the tightness he did when he won the Universe. 19. He really was lean. Again, I have pictures I took. I can send them to you. That period. He was a different person.
Then
he just, I guess he felt he needed to get more size. And, he ate. I think he was actually fatter. You know that. I mean, definitely wasn't that bigger. He looked bigger, but it wasn't from muscle.
So back in the mid-60s like that, Dave, how many guys were really ripped? How many guys were really in shape? Because there was different judging standards, obviously, and the diet, the nutrition part wasn't as advanced as it became later on.
I think that I hate to use the word, it's not racial, but I think more black athletes need to be able to be more defined than the non-black. I remember talking to Leon Brown, who was very, very vascular, what his diet was. And he said, I don't have a diet. I eat what I want. I didn't want to hear that. You know, who knows if he was telling me the truth, but.
Sergio was like that too.
Yeah, they definitely seem to be able to keep their leanness, but when Harold tried to change that, I think that's what hurt him. You know, he didn't know he was changing it, but he was losing his muscularity for sure.
Okay.
Probably by eating more. So.
Yeah.
The black athletes definitely tended to be more leaner. It took me a long time to get that secret. You know, consistency. I should say, not secret.
You think Larry Scott just had a better charisma and stage presence than the other guys, because it seemed like he really knew how to play the audience and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying about the tan and the hair. He did it on stage, too. He was able to carry that through. The glow he had, I mean, we always wondered how Arnold glowed, but I think Larry was one of the first ones. Literally, their tan just got like a sheen to it. It wasn't just oil. It had to be something else, some other thing they were using. But, I think Larry looked very bronzy, where some of the guys look more red.
Oh, really? Okay. Was he using some kind of tanning agent?
Yeah. You know, my father-in-law was here today, and he's watching that. I don't think so. I think when I took the 77 California, I spent a week in Santa Barbara, and I laid in the sun every day.
Yeah.
I was darker than Danny Padilla. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
But I think the natural tan is better, maybe with a little burn before the show, not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys are using iodine, putting iodine in the olive oil, the baby oil.
Okay.
But I think that works for some people, depending on the base.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Larry definitely had the style hair.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it doesn't hurt that he was a good-looking guy on top of everything.
Yeah.
White teeth. He had everything. He was like an actor among extras.
Yeah. Well, plus also the magazine publicity had to help too, right? Because these guys were in the magazines all year and they were being promoted, him and Dave Draper especially.
Oh, yeah. The magazine helped, I mean, for sure. No question about that. Like I said, those are the ones you look for when you go or even in the audience.
Right, right.
It helped me when Mike would put my picture in the Muscle Builder. All of a sudden people asking for autographs,
Mm-hmm.
The same guy, but when you get to Weider, the other magazines are not as well, they're not bad, but Weider seem to be the most as far as the readers coming up to you. When I was an MD, I was in Strength and Health a little bit, but no, Weider's one picture in Weider's magazine, it's like autograph seekers, crazy.
Wow, yeah. What did you guys do after the show? Did you all go out to eat?
Well, it was usually late at night. The shows didn't get over till almost 12.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the first year I was with that juvenile deal, so once the show's done, he just wants to drive home.
Right.
Then when I got older and I went on my own, and we was Howard Johnson the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is not in Brooklyn. It was up in the Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
That's where we competed later. No, I wouldn't drive home, I think, until the following day. But when I was with Ed in the earlier shows, we'd all drive him back. It wasn't that long, maybe a couple hours. I don't know. I remember once I was with Ed and we got lost. And all of a sudden, a cop puts a light on and it was like 2:30 in the morning. He stops. Ed says, "What's wrong?" He says, "You're lost." "Well, how'd you know?" He said, "Because you're in Bedford-Stuyvesant." "Have you ever heard of Bedford-Stuyvesant?"
No.
That's like the Watts in New York.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. He says, "We're three white guys in a car."
Yeah.
He says, "Well, follow me. I'm going to take you right. Where are you going? To New England. I'll follow you and take you right to the street, the exit to New England."
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. I wasn't cool. I was clueless too with Bedford-Stuyvesant was, but all you have to do is get lost. And the policeman saw us and turned us right around. You're not in the right area. I know you're not supposed to be here. I know you don't want to be here, put it that way.
Right. So what else do you remember about 66, Dave, about that 66 event?
I just think it was a great experience. You know, the first one was the biggest one to me as far as memories. And I did take some pictures, like I said. The audience was incredible again for Larry. Meeting a lot of guys from California, which I did, like I said, I met John Tristram. I think John did actually place in that show. He was pretty good. He was very nice. I think Alan Keene made it the following year. I talked to the guys that I knew mostly from Mountain Park.
Yeah.
All those guys who come there. I don't know if you, Tony Atlas, remember that name? Tony Atlas?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He was huge.
I'm not sure if he was there, but I think he there's another guy I met from New York. Also, the guy who ended up doing the Hulk, Incredible Hulk,
Lou?
California. Yeah, he did the show that took over for Jake. Remember, you know, Jake Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
He used to do the parades in California, the Incredible Hulk.
Uh-huh.
I think that guy, he was another bodybuilder from Boston, and he used to compete all the time. He's a big, big guy, and he's in a lot of movies now. Manny Perry, that's it, Manny Perry.
Oh, yeah, Manny Perry. Yeah. He was in the 78 Mr. America also.
Yeah. Yeah, he's he retired pretty young. I don't think it was, he can retire earlier than that.
Uh-huh.
But the second one, my memories are not as vague, as good as they were for the first one.
Yeah. And then did you go on any more contests that were held with the Mr. Olympia, Dave, after 66?
No. No, what am I saying? I was there when Arnold and Frank and Lou and Franco, that was 74.
74, okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was in the audience for that one. I got some pictures of him.
Okay. Well, we'll have to talk to you about that when we talk about the 74 Olympia, if you were there.
I was in the audience, but I was in the contest, too. I was in the audience for the actual pose down between them.
Okay.
That was always held later on. I think they had prejudging at this one, because I wouldn't have been in the audience if I was still competing backstage. So we were all done.
Okay.
We came out. That's the year Bob Birdsong won the America.
Right.
Bill Grant was in that one.
Bill Grant won the Mr. World, yeah.
Yeah. But I always hoped that Franco would be an Arnold once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
maybe it's a height thing, you know?
Right, for the short guy,
one
right.
Time he beat him, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I thought, right. Arnold definitely looked very good. That night, nobody was going to beat him.
Yeah, that was his peak, right?
But he was much bigger than before. And I think in London, or was it London or France? Paris, when Sergio could have beat him that day.
Yeah.
With Serge Nubre and Franco again and Zane.
That was in Essen, Germany, I believe, 72.
Well, yeah, it was Germany, yeah. So. But that was a great, you know, I got to meet Arnold later on after he retired when he was dating Maria. He was working out at our gym.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he was. I used to play a lot of racquetball then, trying to lean out.
Mm-hmm.
He had a glass court. He watched me play racquetball for about an hour, and he said, I got out, and he said, "You move fast for a big guy." Well, I said, "Thank you." I said, "But partly because I am big, I can move fast."
Okay. So, did you tell him you were a competitor back in the day?
Well, I was still competing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was still competing when he was watching me.
Okay.
Yeah, that was before I think it was around 70, I think it was 81 or 82.
Late 70s.
Getting ready for the, yeah. I think it was actually the 80s.
Okay.
After Arnold retired. Arnold was training Franco in our gym for the 81 Olympia.
Oh, really? Wow. What was that like?
Well, you know, have you ever heard of form when you do an exercise, control the weight?
Yeah.
They have no control. Franco was throwing the weights all around. Well, it's unbelievable that these guys could ever get results the way they train.
Arnold was training him? Was he training with him, or was he sort of helping?
No, he was training him. Arnold was just training him because they didn't want to go to golds.
Okay.
So it was just like supposed to be a secret. You know the guys. Why are they still like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was training him at our gym. It was a sports connection on Santa Monica Boulevard. And, but he was training for the Mr. Olympia. He ended up winning. I thought Tom Platt should have won that one.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
He looked incredible. So did Danny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny looked unbelievable.
But Franco won. And this was after he broke his leg with the strongman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had no quad anymore. But
I've seen videos of Franco training, and you're right. He just he trains like real powerful and just throws the weights around.
And then he's another one I asked on his diet. I said, I eat everything. So, you guys aren't helping me, you know?
Yeah, you're not helping me out.
So that was fun there, too.
Well, Dave, maybe I can get you to send me some of those pictures you took, and we could put them up on the website so everybody could see them.
Sure, I will.
All right, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. All right, Dave. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast and telling us your stories from the early days of 65 and 66. And it was great getting your input because I know you were out there competing and you got to see these guys up close. So it was great hearing your stories.
I enjoyed it.
Hopefully we can have you on again and talk about some of these other shows you were at.
Okay, for sure.
Okay, Dave. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, John. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. Thanks to Dave Mastorakis for another great interview. And I want to thank our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.